Right. Our first reading this morning is from the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verses 9 to 10. Right in there. The future king. Rejoice, rejoice, people of Zion. Shout for joy, you people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He comes triumphant and victorious, but humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The Lord says, I will remove the war chariots from Israel and take the horses from Jerusalem. The bows used in battle will be destroyed. Your king will make peace among the nations. He will rule from sea to sea, from the river Euphrates to the ends of the earth. And the second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 12 to 16. The triumphant entry into Jerusalem. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the Passover festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, Praise God! God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord. God bless the King of Israel. Jesus found a donkey and rode on it, just as the scripture says. Do not be afraid, city of Zion. Here comes the king, riding on a young donkey. His disciples did not understand this at the time, but when Jesus had been raised to glory, they remembered that the scripture said this about him, and they had done this for him. Praise be to God.
I was hoping to speak to the children, but they've left. That's not very good planning, is it? But there we are. I take it in your own hearts, in your own spirit, there is a child lurking. And so you can answer maybe somebody's question without too much shyness. It's not an examination. There is not to be, as it were, a right and a wrong. It's just to elicit some answers from you rather than from me. When we think of that, what we call the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, very often we think it was a big affair and no one could miss it. And it would be something that would be overwhelming to everybody around and wonderful to be there. I'm sorry to say that's a lot of nonsense. It was a small pilgrim band that suddenly, with other bands of pilgrims, broke into the well-known and the traditional psalms and prophecies relating to Jerusalem and relating to the fact that the Messiah was yet to be expected. Jesus, therefore, came in to that situation. There were crowds around, not all for him, but some were. So it wasn't the place to preach. He wouldn't have microphones whereby he could address a whole number of people. And so symbolism was something that was important here. And it's that I just want to speak about just for a moment. Symbols are things that stand for something else. Symbols stand for something else. I just want to just ask you to think through, what do you think Jesus was trying to symbolize by riding on a donkey, for instance? What would you say? Now, you know the answer. Come on. Yes, yes. He could have chosen a horse, but he chose not to, because that's the sort of vehicle that a conqueror might use. And he chose, as we're hearing, something that spoke of something that was meek, humble, and therefore something that, as we understood Jesus to be, the Prince of Peace. Palm branches, what could they symbolize? Again, I'm not saying there's a right answer or a wrong answer. What do you think those might symbolize? Sorry? Flowers. Who said that? Okay. Is that right, you think? Does that sound okay? Well, of course, they're quite evident. I remember at my church in Muswell Hill, I had a lot of palms in the front garden, and I took them to church. And they're quite huge things, you know. You couldn't avoid, you know, seeing these things. And you can imagine, therefore, a crowd or a group of people saying, oh, there's something happening over there, you know, and be attracted to come and maybe look and to join in. So it was in a way to indicate a celebration that you shouldn't miss. I remember in the old days, you used to have the Salvation Army, you know, going through the streets at times. You heard that band. I know we, even as Presbyterians, used to turn out to listen to them, to follow them. They attracted attention, but of course they were conveying something of fun, if you like. I'm never quite sure why the disciples put their cloaks on the donkey. Anybody got any ideas why they would do that? Well, when I was a boy, I was about 10 years of age, and it was during the Blitz in London. And we were living here because it was nearer to where my father might be when he returned from Europe in order to see him. Anyway, I joined the church lads brigade, and I said to my mother, I may be a bit late, but I'm in the parade. Oh, she said, that's good. She said, I must come and see you. Well, because I was young, the youngest, in fact, I think you had to be 11 to join. They let me join at 10. But they didn't give me a uniform. And so when the parade started off, the captain said, we've got some coats here, Bert. We'll let you carry them. My big moment. So I was carrying everybody's, you know, things they didn't want. And I thought this was wonderful. But of course, I was being used as a beast of burden. And I wonder whether, in a way, that's what was happening. But then there is the other answer, isn't there? That the disciples were showing their humility, giving Jesus some kind of support and comfort at this particular time. And then there was the singing of that psalm. We heard Philip, not the psalm, the prophecy. We heard Philip talking about that prophecy in Zechariah, where it was said that the king would come riding upon a donkey. Symbol of expectation, symbol of hope. And therefore, something that the pilgrims wanted to actually hold on to, that in some future God would send his Messiah into the world.